This morning I was filling in the part that the preacher gives us to fill in as he preaches, and I got that. Have I got it cut on? Is it on? Does my voice sound better with it off? You ought to hear me sing. I got down to the bottom after I filled in the last one, and it said we continue on our series, and I had to look at it twice. I thought it said a trick or treat Andy Hines will preach for us. So I was hoping I had read that wrong. Anyway, as Brother Tim said, we're going to continue the road trip that he started last month, and I want to mention this. I know Brother Jim Morgan is here, I think. He'll remember this. About a year ago, one Wednesday afternoon, he called me and said that Brother Tim had been called away and wanted to know if I would speak that night, and of course I told him yes. And I had been doing this particular message that I'm going to speak tonight, if God will continue giving me the grace to do it. And so that night I shared a little bit of this. So if you was here that night about a year ago, and if you recognize something, well, that's what you recognize. Okay? Turn in your Bible to chapter 24 of the book of Luke. Chapter 24, if you didn't bring it with you, there's one right in front of you, in the back of the pew. You see it? Jesus had died, and it's Sunday morning. And two of the followers of Jesus was on their way back home. They were tired and discouraged and bewildered and confused. So if you will, please stand with me with your Bible open in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. We're going to begin reading with verse 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about, everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard all the things that has happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some of the women from our group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and that they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from the scripture the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey. Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they bade him to stay. 'Stay the night with us, since it's getting late.' So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And in verse 32, and they said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained to us the scripture?'" Father, tonight I pray that you'll make us different. Lord, give us a love for the lost. Teach us to care for each other. and teach us that there's more to being a Christian than just being saved. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. In John 1:38, the Bible tells us that he was called Rabbi, which means teacher. In John 20:16, Mary called him Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. In John 3:2, the Bible says, after dark one evening, Nicodemus came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we know that God has sent you to teach us. Well, it's early morning. Jesus had appeared to several of his followers. Then he made his way to the road of Emmaus. I jumped ahead of myself. Y'all hold on just a minute for me. Early Sunday morning, Jesus had appeared to several of his followers. But these two old boys from Emmaus didn't know that he had came back and had appeared to them. As far as they was concerned, Jesus is dead and all their hope is gone. Then suddenly a stranger came up and began walking with them. And the Bible tells us that God kept them from recognizing that he was Jesus. Jesus began teaching them through the writings of Moses and the prophets, the scripture tells us. I want to ask you a question now. Is Sunday school important? Jesus rose from the dead. He spent a little bit of time with his closest friends. And then he made his way to these two disheartened men traveling down the road to Emmaus. It was Sunday morning. I believe that Jesus started Sunday school the same day that he rose from the dead. And I believe that's the reason Sunday school is so important. More people get saved that attend Sunday school than those that get saved just by coming to church alone. Sunday school is important. If you're not in Sunday school, you ought to be. Because when the Bible is taught, as we're going to see tonight, wonderful things will happen. It'll change your heart. And it'll change your life as you listen to that teacher teach Sunday school. So what we're going to do tonight is think about these two old boys from Emmaus. We're going to see what happened to their lives during their first Sunday school lesson. Look at verse 32. Then they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scripture to us? Didn't our hearts burn within us? Somebody said, what are you going to preach about? I said, heartburn. I believe it was Mark. He said, I've had that. But let me tell you what happened. These two old boys got a good case of heavenly heartburn. See, when you get heavenly heartburn, Rolaids and Tums and Maalox is not going to help you. Heavenly heartburn. How do you know if you got it? Well, first you get an excitement in your lives. It'll get in your thoughts and you'll want to shout. It'll get in your mouth and you'll want to sing. It'll get in your eyes and you'll want to weep for the lost. It'll get in your legs and you'll fall down on your knees praying. It'll get in your feet and you'll start moving and telling the world about Jesus. Now these are simple ways to tell if you've got heavenly heartburn. But I believe that it's deeper than that. I believe there's three real ingredients that will cause you to have heavenly heartburn. First, you'll have to have an excitement about the Scriptures. You see, Jesus is going through the Scripture, and these two old boys got excited just hearing the Word of God. To have what they have, you've got to love the preaching of God's Holy Word. You see, Jesus just opened up the Scripture and started teaching. You say, well, no wonder they got excited. Here's a living Word opening up the written Word. No wonder they excited and thrilled. You say, look, here was the greatest teacher of all, opening up the greatest book of all, explaining the greatest theme of all. No wonder they were thrilled that day. But listen, it's better than that. Listen to me. Up to now, they didn't know it was Jesus. Up to now, he was just a stranger. Up to now, they didn't know who he was. So that means that their hearts were set on fire just by the teaching of God's Word. Listen, when a congregation gets excited about the preaching of God, you won't have to lock them up or tie them up or hold them up. Amen? They'll not be interested in watching the clock. They'll want to watch the book. They won't care about the time. They'll be concerned about the text. They won't be interested in getting out and meet the Methodist to the cafe. They'll want to sit and listen to God's holy word. I pray that he'll help us get excited about the preaching of the scripture. You see, it was Jeremiah that said, the word of God is like a fire shut up in my bones. Peter said, this book glows like a light and it shines in dark places. The psalmist said, this book is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Some people say you get too emotional sometimes, preacher. Let me tell you something. How can you talk about a lost soul and not get emotional? How can we talk about heaven and hell and not get emotional? I pray that God will loosen us up in our Christian walking. Set our souls on fire every time we hear the word of God preached. Let me tell you something else. Not only will you be excited about the preaching of the scripture, you'll get excited about the person of the scripture. Now look at this. Now this is good. Now look at verse 27. Then Jesus took them through the writing of Moses and the prophets, explaining from all the scripture everything concerning himself. Concerning who? Talk to me. Concerning himself. Okay, talk to me. I heard old country boy, and I asked the preacher, could I say this? He said, if you tell what his name is, if it's something he said. I don't know what his name is. He was from Alabama. He said, Jesus just hauled off and preached Jesus. That sounded good to me. Did you know that he's the star of the story? Did you know that he wrote it and directed and produced it and he starred in it? You do know if we're not talking about Jesus, we're not talking about anything. The Bible says he started at Moses and went all the way through the prophets. No doubt he stopped in Genesis 3 and talked about the seed of woman. He probably went on to Mount Moriah and talked about Abraham and Isaac. No doubt he talked about the bloodline that run all the way through the Old Testament. No doubt every time he stopped, he pointed out things about himself. You see, he's in the Old Testament. You probably heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. He's in the Old Testament. He's in the New Testament. The Old Testament predicts him. The New Testament presents him. The Old Testament anticipates him. And the New Testament gives him to us live and in living color. Amen? Talk to me. He's in every book in the Old Testament. In Genesis, he probably said, I'm the promised seed. In Joshua, he probably said, I'm the prophet, priest, and king. Maybe he went over to Joshua and said, I'm wonderful counselor of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Then he probably went on to the prophets and said, I'm Bethlehem's star rising in the sky. I want to remind you something today. There's no Sunday school without Jesus. There's no music without Jesus. There's no message without Jesus. There's no hope without Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what excited these boys on the road. The Bible says that our hearts can be set on fire if we'll get excited about the preaching of the Scripture and about the person of the Scripture. I told you there was three things, three ingredients, and the third one is this. We also need an encounter with the Savior. Look at these old boys. Now they had traveled 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, defeated, dejected, and broken. Jesus was dead. Well, watch them coming back now. Go with me to verse 33. Got your Bible on? Verse 33. And within the hour, they was on their way back to Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and other followers of Jesus were gathered. When they arrived, they were greeted with this report, the Lord is really risen. He appeared to Peter. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they was walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. Can you see them now running just as fast as they could? They wanted to get back to Jerusalem with the greatest news human hearts had ever heard. He's alive! He's alive! They probably jumped up and down a little bit. Amen? I didn't mess up this boards up here, I don't think. Amen? You see, they went home defeated, but they came back excited. I can see them now, busting through the door, almost out of breath. One of them trying to shout over the other one to tell their story. He's alive. We just saw him. You see, these little boys had an encounter with the Savior. Look at verse 36. And just as they were about to, just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly was standing amongst them. And he said, "Peace be still." While they was trying to tell their story and what had happened there on the road and after they got home, boom, Jesus appeared right in the middle of them. John's gospel tells us in his account that the doors was locked. Let me tell you something. You can remember this tonight. When you are the door, you don't need a door. Amen? When you've had an encounter with the Savior, you've been touched by Jesus. Listen, did you know that Jesus still touches people? And when he touches you, your life will change. All through his ministry on earth, he touched people. He touched a blind man and he could see. He touched a crippled man and he could walk. He touched over 5,000 hungry people and there was food left over. I want to tell you a story that you've heard so many times, but I want you to get it right tonight. You remember the story of the woman in the Bible that had the issue of blood? The Bible said that she said, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment," in King James, "if I could only touch the hem of his robe, I'd be healed." But I want to tell you what happened. She might have done the reaching, but it was Jesus that done the touching. Amen? And it only took one touch. Aren't you glad they still one touch? One touch that'll revive a church. One touch that'll mend a broken marriage. One touch that'll sober up a drunk. One touch that'll take desire from an addict. One touch that'll clean up a filthy mouth. I'm fishing the clothes now. I talk fast enough to get through soon, preacher. Is that okay? I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about the day that you got saved. Do you still have that excitement? When you started your prayer life, are you still doing it? When you started reading the Bible every day, are you still doing that? If you're not, can I recommend you need a touch from Jesus tonight? Maybe you need healing. Jesus is in the touching business. The altar's to get in touch with him. I can do it anywhere. This is a special place. Amen. Maybe you need to join this church. I don't remember any at-large church members in the Bible. Maybe I'm wrong, Pastor. I don't believe there is. Membership makes a difference. You can do it tonight. Had some this morning. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You can do that tonight. Brother Mark, you can get ready to sing. We fist and clothes. You can come and experience what a touch from Jesus can make in your life. And we've got some men here that'll show you how. Very simple. You won't be embarrassed. They won't ask you any questions that's going to scare you. But Jesus wants to touch you tonight. Let's pray. Father, tonight I ask that you make us better. Make us better preachers and better deacons and better Sunday school teachers and better church members and better Christians. Make us better witnesses for you, Lord. Just make us better so we can be all that you want us to be. Holy Spirit, touch some hearts tonight. Reach out and touch them. Let them know how much we love them if they're not already members. And if they are members, we love them too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.